Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sound one.
Good morning, Stone Church.
Good morning.
Welcome, welcome back. If you've been away, you probably know that our pastors have been away for some vacation. They'll be back tomorrow morning in the office. Couple of other quick reminders. If you would like a prayer spoken during the morning prayer time, we have the little cards, and hopefully you can find one. And then we will take those up during the children's time. We'll ask, as we've been doing, we'll ask the children to gather them and bring them down front. Also, your attendance, many of you will know how this works. If you are tired of just writing your name in, by all means, get out your phone, scan the QR code, feel very 2020s about doing your attendance. But we do want a record of your time with us today. So if you could do that on Zoom in the chat or on paper or virtually, that would be super. Next week, we have this Stone Church retreat planned, right? And that's going to be 8:30 to noon here at the church. So there'll be more information about that. Of course, the Friday Flash will talk about it additionally. So we're hoping you will join us. One other item is that, you know, each week, the denomination sends out blank programs. Well, blank on the inside, right? Holy Spirit will fill that part, but they've already done the outside. And this week, if you haven't noticed already, and I'm sure you did, you were like, I've been waiting for 52 weeks for a chicken on the cover of the bulletin. And this is that week, so aren't you glad you came? But as if that wasn't enough, and I feel like you can see how, even at the highest reaches of the Church of the Brethren, they picked that photo, I think, and said, who among the Church of the Brethren could write in a way that would adequately reflect a chicken on the front cover? And if you look at the back where there's a sort of call to worship meditation, you will see it is our own chicken farmer, Marty Keeney. So please do not miss that. All right. So it's good to be together. And now let's focus our minds as we listen to the music of the prelude.
Happened to it? Huh. Happened to it? Huh. Thank you.
Good morning. Please rise in body or spirit and join with me in the call to worship. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For God's steadfast love endures forever.
Who alone does great wonders?
For God's steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to God, who by understanding made the heavens,
who spread out the earth on the waters.
For God's steadfast mercy endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord, who made the great lights,
the sun to rule over the day, the moon and stars to rule over the night.
For God's steadfast love endures forever.
Who brought Israel out from Egypt, led the people in the desert, and made water flow from a rock.
Who remembers us and how we were made from the dust, who nurtures us into life.
For God's steadfast mercy endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the God of heavens.
For God's steadfast mercy endures forever. Please continue with me in the unison invocation. God of steadfast love and mercy, come and empower us to acts of compassion and justice. Infuse our living with an awareness of your presence and image all around us, in people, in creation, in us. Help us walk humbly with you, an act of worship in all of life. May we delight in you as you delight in us. Amen.
Thank you. time for the younger among us to come on up. So if the kids want to come on up, and while you're coming up, could you please grab the prayer cards? All right, so we have a book this morning. It's called The Beggar's Magic, A Chinese Tale. And if you notice, it says it was retold by, instead of written by, Margaret and Raymond Chang, illustrated by David Johnson. It says retold by because this is based on a series of stories that was passed down for thousands of years in Chinese oral tradition. But it also ties in with the reading that we're doing from the Bible later today, from Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. One day, long ago, a stranger came to a village in China. Fu Nan, who lived with his parents on a farm outside the village, was the first to meet him. He thought the old man looked like a wandering priest, the kind he'd heard of in the old stories. A priest who could work magic. Fu Nan was frightened by his sudden appearance, but the stranger's expression was kind and serene. Fu Nan greeted him politely. "This looks like a good place to stay for a while," the old man said. "Do you know where I can sleep?" Fu Nan showed him an abandoned cottage on the outskirts of the village. There, the old man made himself a bed of straw and hung up a piece of paper painted with large, rough writing. He called this hut his monastery. Every morning, Fu Nan and his friends would peer through the window, waiting for the old man to wake up. The children liked to keep the old man company while he begged for food. He was always cheerful, and he never seemed to notice the weather. Rain or shine, the old man wore the same shabby sandals and tattered garment. Since everyone knew that wandering priests took a vow of poverty, the villagers gladly gave the old man rice and vegetables. Fu Nan warned him not to visit the stingy Farmer Wu, the richest man in the district. "He's had his dogs in the last beggar who came to his door," Fu Nan said. Because they were with him so often, the children were the first to discover that the old man had unusual powers. One morning, when he greeted the children at his door, the old man saw the son of the basket maker holding a sparrow in a cage. The bird fluttered miserably against the bars of its prison. "Will you let the bird go if I show you a magic trick?" the old man asked him. Wide-eyed, the boy nodded. The old man went into his hut and returned with a black cloth, an ink stick, paper, and a brush. He draped the black cloth over the cage. The children watched silently as he mixed ink and water. In a few quick strokes, he painted a picture of the caged sparrow. It was so lifelike, they thought it might start to sing. He finished by painting the door of the cage standing open. The painted sparrow twittered and flew out the open door, swooping off the paper and up to the branch of a nearby tree. The basket maker's son snatched away the black cloth that covered his cage. Fu Nan and the others cried out in amazement. The cage was empty. The priest smiled at the boy. "You have done a kind deed," he said. "You have allowed a wild creature to follow its nature and fly free." "Can you teach me that trick?" Fu Nan asked the old man later. The old man spoke gently. "Before I could work this magic, I had to give up all I owned to become a priest. Then I studied for years and vowed never to use my magic for selfish gain. You're young yet. Wait a while to find your way." In the village, Fu Nan sometimes helped frail widow Liang carry heavy buckets of water from the village well to her house because there was no water left in her well. One hot day, Fu Nan heard the old man ask widow Liang, "How long has your well been dry?" "It's been a year since Farmer Wu diverted the stream that fed my well to irrigate his pear orchard," widow Liang replied. "Maybe I can help you," the priest said. He poured a dipper full of water down Widow Liang's well. The next morning, she found it brimming with fresh, sweet water. Fu Nan and Widow Liang were the only witnesses to this marvel, but a few days later, the whole village saw the beggar priest's magic. On the day of the August Moon Festival, the road to the village was crowded with merchants and farmers carrying their goods to market. Fu Nan's parents set out with baskets of cabbages on their backs. When Fu Nan saw the priest, he asked his parents if he could walk with the old man. Fu Nan began to tell the old man about the new kite he wanted to buy with his birthday money. Suddenly, there was a commotion on the road behind them. Farmer Wu's donkey, pulling a cartload of pears, charged down the crowded road, making everyone scatter. Farmer Wu beat the overburdened donkey, yelling at it to move even faster. By the time Fu Nan and the old man reached the village square, Farmer Wu was already selling pears from his cart. The hot sun made everyone thirsty, and the sweet, juicy pears sold well, though the farmer demanded a high price. "May I have one of your luscious pears?" the priest asked Farmer Wu. "May I have one of your luscious pears?" the priest asked Farmer Wu. "Go away, you ragged beggar. You won't get a handout from me," Farmer Wu shouted. "But you have so many," the old man pleaded. "Surely you can spare just one." A crowd gathered to watch the argument. Someone called out, "Don't be so stingy. Give the old man a pear." But the farmer angrily waved his stick and cursed the priest. Fu Nan dug into his pocket, trying not to think about the new kite he dreamed of buying. "The kite can wait," he told himself, and quickly handed his coins to Farmer Wu. All his birthday money would buy only one small pear. Looking down at the dusty ground so the priest couldn't see how much he wanted a new kite, Fu Nan held out the pear to him with both hands. After bowing his thanks, the old man spoke to the people around him. "Because so many of you have shared food with me," he said, "I am going to treat everyone to a delicious pear." He strolled across the village square, and the crowd followed him. Curious as the rest, Farmer Wu followed the crowd. The priest stopped at the other side of the square and ate the small pear in a few quick bites until all that remained was one tiny black seed. The priest pulled a spade from the bag on his back, dug a hole in the dirt, and planted the seed. "Fu Nan," he called, "fetch me a kettle of boiling water." Fu Nan returned with a kettle from a nearby tea shop. The old man poured hot water over the dirt. Instantly, a green sprout appeared. Within minutes, the sprout grew into a tree and branched into leaves and blossoms, attracting bees and butterflies. Birds sang from the branches. The flowers became small green pears that quickly ripened into golden brown fruit. The old man sniffed a pear. "I think they're ready to eat," he said. Carefully, he picked the pears and offered one to each villager. He gave the largest, ripest pear to Widow Liang. "Sweet, juicy, delicious," people said, marveling at the priest's magic. As soon as the last pear had been picked, the leaves turned brown and started to fall. The branches that had looked so strong grew dry and twisted. "The tree has given up its fruit," the old man said. With his axe, he chopped it down and handed out dry branches to the people for firewood. He dusted off his hands and rummaged through his bag for a scrap of paper, which he gave to Fu Nan. "When you get back home," he whispered, "tie a string to it and see what happens." Then, waving goodbye, the priest walked down the road toward the mountains. Everyone clustered around, talking about the magic they had seen. Fu Nan put the scrap of paper in his pocket and went to find his parents. A roar of rage from across the village square stopped Fu Nan. People turned to see Farmer Wu standing near the spot where his cart had been. His pears and his cart were gone. Only the cart's wheels and the donkey remained. Then Fu Nan understood. The old man had conjured away Farmer Wu's pears and used the cart shaft and body to make the tree. Farmer Wu also realized what had happened. He ran after the priest, pushing his way across the crowded square, yelling, "Stop that old beggar! He stole my pears!" But the priest was far away down the road, and behind Farmer Wu, the villagers laughed so hard they could barely stand up. Ever since that day, the story of how Farmer Wu lost his pears has been told as a warning. Don't be stingy like the foolish farmer, or you'll end up a laughingstock, parents still say to the children. Ever since that day, the basket maker's son has loved to watch sparrows flying around the village, but he has never caught another bird. Widow Liang's well is always filled with pure water, even in times of drought. And the scrap of paper the old man had given to Fu Nan turned into a splendid kite. The first time he flew it, on the evening of the August Moon Festival, he knew it was finer and stronger than any kite he'd ever owned. A sudden breeze gusted it in the still air, lifting it majestically into the sky. Holding the string and listening to the sound of the kite's tail flapping in the wind, Fu Nan could feel the old man's presence. Someday, he thought, he would be ready to leave the village and follow the old man over the mountains. What'd you guys think of that one?
I liked it.
You liked it? Do you think there's maybe a lesson to be taken from it?
Yeah.
Well, I think there's two. There's the easy one, which is to be kind, right?
Yeah.
But there's one that's a little more important. How did the old man teach the people in the village about kindness? Did he go in, did he tell them a bunch of rules and say, you must do this or you're going to be punished?
No. He wasn't stingy like
farmers. He gave an example to live by, right?
Yeah.
He got him to think about it and think about what the right thing to do was. Mm-hmm. All right. We ready to do a quick prayer?
Yeah.
All right. Dear Lord. Thank you for people who spread kindness in the world. And for lessons that make us think. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Join me in prayer. Lord, gathered here together, help us to walk humbly, do justice, and spread your love. And please hear our prayers for our brothers and sisters. We celebrate that Jane LaPrade is home from the hospital. We ask for healing for our sister Carol Fultz and her broken ankle. On many of our minds today, Lord, is our brother Dick Landrum and our sister Myrna. We ask that
You give healing if that is possible, or ease his passing if not. And help us to surround Myrna with your love and your care. We ask for continued healing for Pastor Ben's parents, for the family of Dale Miller, who passed away this week and whose services were this week. Put your hand on our brother Eddie's hand as he tries to deal with the ongoing pain that he has. We ask for care for Donna and her family as she continues to care for her mother. We're grateful for some progress in Lieutenant Wagner's healing. We ask for his continued recovery. We're encouraged by Darlene's brother Boyd's health, and we hope that he will continue to improve. For Bea, a friend of Gail's sister, we also ask for continued improvement. For all those in our community who are dealing with cancer and for their siblings and family members spread far and wide, we ask for their healing. For Val, Samantha, Calvin, Chris, and Lucy, and now also for Jennifer Warsing, who, even though she's only in her 40s, has cancer that has spread to her bones. We ask for prayer for peoples, for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria who deal with the ongoing threat of persecution and violence.